Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend of the show, David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you guys?
We are good. Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, David, Titans have captured the number one seed in the AFC. They'll await who their first-round opponent will be.
All, I guess they're... We all saw it coming. We saw it miles away they were going to get the number one seed.
Yes, we did. Very much predicted by everyone, I think, across the entire league, not just here in Nashville. But just your thoughts on that accomplishment itself of capturing the number one seed, given everything this team's gone through this year.
You know, I think the biggest thing really right now is you look at the you look at the AFC playoff field, and there's some really interesting teams in here, and there's a couple teams that have beaten the Titans, and you know there's sort of this sense that anybody can beat anybody, right? And you talk about home field advantage, this and that. I think the biggest thing is there's just one less game for something weird to happen, right? So the fact that they get this bye, yeah, they can get healthy, they can get all that, but they you thin the herd a little bit, and I think that's bigger than ever in this year. And since 2002, when the league expanded and realigned and everything, 20 of 38 number one seeds have made it to the Super Bowl. So there is a real advantage in that, and to have done it, you know. I mean, we could talk ad nauseum about all the players they've used. You know, we've all, you know, dealt with Derrick Henry not being in there. It's a pretty remarkable achievement. I would think, considering everything. So now it's up to them to put it to good use here.
So if you are the Titans and you are omnipotent, I guess you could just win the Super Bowl and then just be done with it. But you could choose your opponent for next weekend. Who are you choosing?
That's a good question. I would say Pittsburgh. I think you feel like you know Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't scare you. You know, I mean, Roethlisberger is Roethlisberger. Yes, there's a lot of sentimentality involved there, but where Ben Roethlisberger is going to be in the pocket these days, and you know he's looking to get the ball out of his hands quickly. I think you can really set a good defensive plan against the Steelers, and then you just have to you're going to have Derrick Henry back, so I think your run game keeps you out of the third and longs that makes that defense so dangerous.
David, how do you feel about this offense heading into the playoffs? Ryan Tannehill, obviously a good performance on Sunday against Houston, was just named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. As you mentioned, Derrick Henry looks like he's coming back for the playoffs. Julio Jones looked like he had a pulse on Sunday in that game. What do you make of this offense heading into the playoffs?
I don't believe that, you know, Julio Jones having a good game and Anthony Firkser showing some life down the stretch here. I don't believe that everything is fixed. I still think this is going to be, I believe sort of in the whole of what I've seen for the 17 games of the regular season, which is this offense is going to have its moments. This offense is going to have its problems protecting Ryan Tannehill, though. This offense is going to have periods where it puts together a couple scoring drives in a row. It's an offense that can disappear for a quarter or a half at a time. So I think the defense is definitely the more reliable unit going into the postseason. The hope is that Derrick Henry does stabilize the offense in a really meaningful way. And to me, that's a big if. It certainly helps to have him back. It'll certainly make a difference in terms of how much attention he'll garner from opposing defenses. But I I want to, you know, I need to see him run. I need to see him try and break tackles, and I need to see him get to full speed. And it just seems unlikely to me that he is going to be the same player right now that we saw on October 31st in Indianapolis, because you know, he's been through a lot. He hasn't played football. That's not to say I don't think he's going to be effective and he's not going to be useful. I just don't know that he's going to be the same guy. So exactly what he does for this offense, I really don't know right now.
What should the concern level be, David, over the Danny Amendola show that we saw in the second half Sunday?
I don't think it should be huge, because he largely took advantage of Elijah Molden, and Molden was terrible in week two in Seattle to the point that he actually got benched for a game, right? He came back and he played well most of the rest of the season. He's actually been one of the better rookie cornerbacks in the league this year by pretty much anyone's analysis that you look around, whether it's, you know, Pro Football Focus or wherever you go for that kind of information. But we all know one of the classic traits of the cornerback is the ability to forget the last play and move on to the next one. And in this case, it'll just be forget the last game and move on to the next one. And I think he's shown that ability already this year. So that's not a huge concern to me. The bigger issue was that, you know, Christian Fulton came off the field in that game with an injury. And if he's not available to play in a little more than a week now, then, I know they dealt with not having him for a little while earlier this year, but that's a guy who I think you need to have out there at this time of year and playing his best. And he's the one I'm really curious to see if anything he does today out on the practice field.
David Beauclair from SI.com on the line with us, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. So, David, what do you make of the job that Mike Vrabel has done this year? We've talked about, you know, whether or not he should win Coach of the Year and all the things that go around that discussion, but just kind of his evolution as head coach over the past few years. What have you noticed on that front from Vrabel to get this team to this point?
You know, I've always said this from early in his tenure. I think Mike Vrabel, for a guy to be at the level he is, at the position he is, in his career, he does a really good job of self-analysis and trying to say, okay, what do I need to do better? I mean, he talks about a lot, particularly after losses. You know, we all need to coach better, this, that, the other thing. But as I see it, he really does sort of take stock of what he does and the way he deals with the players. And he said it at one point during this season, you know, that when you get this job, you think, oh, we're going to have the best schemes and we're going to do this, and you come to realize that stuff's not nearly as important as dealing with the players. And I think you go back to the, you know, the 91 players who have played for this team this year, and you know, we've heard it ad nauseum where, you know, he says in the Wednesday meeting, everybody in this room better be prepared to play. And But I think what's really compelling about that number and the way guys have gone in and out of the lineup is that, you know, you have guys show up and they feel a part of this team. There's not this sort of mercenary aspect of guys being plucked off the street. When they get here, you don't sense that they're guys who are just playing for a paycheck for very long. They are incorporated into being a Titan, and I think that's sort of the most important thing, that whether it's something Mike Vrabel says, whether it's the atmosphere he's created, you know, however that happens, I'm really fascinated by the fact that guys come in and do the sorts of things that they do and play at the level that they play at, because you have to care a certain amount to be able to do that. I don't think if it's just like, oh, thank God I got a job, I'm getting a paycheck, if that was the attitude of all these guys, we wouldn't see what we saw from this team. So that's something that I think has really impressed me this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. David, to be obvious, you know, Ryan Tannehill is going to be, you know, hugely important. There's going to be moments when, however long this goes, where he's going to just have to make a play. But I also feel like this is a big postseason for Todd Downing to, you know, to come up with some terrific calls in key moments. I'm just wondering at this point, what is your assessment of Todd Downing his first year as OC?
I think he's done a good job. He's certainly distinguished himself from Arthur Smith. I think you can look at these Titans and say, yeah, it's the same playbook, but it's not necessarily the same offense in a lot of ways. I think the hard thing a lot of times in that situation is to not try to be the guy who was ahead of you, you know, and to form your own identity. And I think Todd Downing did that successfully. I think there's the one thing that kind of sticks out to me is whether it's the design or whether it's the timing. I'm not sure which, but we saw a trick play attempt Sunday in Houston that did not work well, and it got me thinking back that, you know, they've tried a number of trick plays this year. I can remember A.J. Brown having to throw a pass away at one point, and it just seems like his play calls, when he gets a little creative and tries to have a little fun, they don't go off nearly as well as when Arthur Smith did them. And it kind of fits with his personality when you think about it. You know, Todd is really sort of low key and reserved, and I don't know that he's a trick play kind of guy, but you know, there is a real identity to this offense in terms of the running, the emphasis on the run that they were able to maintain without Derrick Henry and what have you. So I think Todd has done well. I don't think the fact that this team has scored fewer points this year you can say, well, that's because he's not as good as Arthur Smith. I think that's, you know, that last year was just an exceptional year in offense, and there was, you know, there was going to be a little bit of a step back regardless this year.
David Beauclair from SI.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. David, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you making time to join us this morning.
I'm happy to do it. You boys know that. Everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what David had to say there. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The NFL playoffs are here, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving all customers up to a $100 bonus on same-game parlays. Just place a same-game parlay on any Super Wildcard Weekend game and get a bonus whether you win or lose. The more you bet, the more you'll get. I like Tampa Bay on the money line. I like Tom Brady on the over on passing yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. This is why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great offers every single week and payouts in as little as 2 hours. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can also enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the wild card to win after using promo code ROB. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I've sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $100 plus 400 odds or longer wager required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Steve Mayer from the NHL coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Stadium Series game coming to Nissan Stadium between the red-hot Nashville Predators and the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on February 26th. Looking forward to that conversation here in about 15 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Ryan Tannehill named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his four-touchdown performance against the Houston Texans. Maybe he single-handedly won the award on the Houdini play as well, just escaping and breaking out to his right. That'll get you an AFC Offensive Player of the Week award.
Yeah, probably helped him. So I'm sure he's celebrating wildly the AFC Player of the Week. Good for him.
You know, David brought up. Yeah, I'm sure he is. David brought up something in the last segment that I don't guess I've really thought about all that much, and that is, you know, when talking about Mike Vrabel and the job he's done this year and the coach of the year stuff, all that stuff, you know, we always talk about the number of players that it has taken for the Titans to get to this point this year. But I thought it was an interesting point by David of kind of Vrabel's role in that, of not only bringing guys in, but bringing guys in and having them adapt to the way you do things quickly, making them feel a part of the team and not just feel like another number on the roster. That does take, you know, a special skill set. That's an angle of this I've not thought much about.
No, I mean, it is. It's an interesting point, and I think there's got to be some truth to it. I mean, at the same time, if you have 91 players, that means there's a whole bunch of guys like, and thank you for being part of the team, and see you later. You know, I mean, right. Like, everybody still knows what this is, and there's a lot of these guys who either you're trying to stay in the NFL, you're trying to keep a job, but there has to be a really good, I'm going to say environment, not culture, good environment to be able to bring those guys in and get them ready and make them feel comfortable and find ways to get production out of them. I think that it's got to be on some level something a little bit beyond just like mercenary, come in, see you later, here's your paycheck, you know, thanks for playing. And there are a lot of guys who, of course, it's not like the Titans are alone on this, but there are a lot of guys who come here, maybe they go somewhere. I mean, John Simon, I'm sure at some point we'll see him back here, you know. I mean, there's a lot of guys who come through, come back, and this happens in the league, but you kind of have like a working group of guys you feel comfortable with. Like if a Breon Borders came back someday, wouldn't surprise me. Buster Skrine ends up being a better option than him. And that's also beyond that, which I think is an interesting point. I mean, this is, for as much as we've made about, and rightfully so, about the last two drafts and some of the free agent signings, I mean, John Robinson and his staff obviously have their finger on the pulse of the league, which is such a huge part of this, especially in a year like this when you have to go out and find so many different guys to come in and give you a roster in some weeks.
Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jared from Dixon texting in says, I'm wondering, do we think that maybe Julio's touchdown has rekindled a fire inside himself? He finally remembers what it felt like to do it, and will it lead to more? This coming from Jared from Dixon on the text line. What do you think, Joe Rexroad? Does the Julio Jones performance on Sunday rekindle the fire inside Julio and lead to more production coming down the road?
Yeah, see, you know, that's an interesting way to put it, and it makes me think of what the word was on Julio when he came in and how, to me, that hasn't played out at all. It's the, you know, he doesn't want to practice, doesn't want to play, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and I know the Falcons fans are like, oh, he's never going to practice, you know, all this stuff. I don't think Julio Jones has suffered from any sort of lack of fire, and I don't think there's been any sort of, from what I've been able to gather, any sort of, you know, like issue with him or anything like that. And I just think he's just been hurt and hasn't been all that good. So I think the fire's been there. The question is, are the legs, you know, are they cooperating? And I did think that in that game, you go watch again that, you know, the early in the second half, the over route he runs that, you know, that Tannehill missed him on. I mean, he looked pretty fast on that play. And I just thought he looked overall better, more explosive. So that, to me, is the bigger deal. Now you get this extra time to rest, but also maybe extra time for him and Tannehill to get some things together. So I think there's a reason for optimism with that performance. And I don't think it's an intangible thing with him.
Go back to the text line. Got Ron texting in that says, good morning, guys. Two things. One, of course, I'd love to face Pittsburgh in the playoffs, but to be realistic, I'd rather see the Patriots. Number two, I've been hearing on sports shows that the Titans' offensive line is getting healthy, and with that being said, they said the Titans don't have a weakness to attack. Do you guys agree, or what do you think about that? I don't know that I would say that I think the Titans don't have a weakness.
No weaknesses.
I'm not willing to go the Titans' offensive line and pass blocking has all of a sudden become some huge strength for them based on what we've seen.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, two straight games. Really, it's two straight games with the starters full game. We've been talking all year. Oh, this guy was out, that guy was out. So two straight games. Now, granted, the Miami game, they put in Raiden's late just because like it was a blowout. But that was by choice. So it's two straight games. They've had their starters, and they've had them healthy through the whole game, which is big. So I think that's also – it's kind of like Julio Jones. I mean, it's getting better, and the issues have been physical. So I think there's reason for optimism there. I still would say, like you said, I mean, you know, pass protection getting better. Is it great yet? You know, is David Questenberry still a guy who, you know, a really good pass rusher can get him? Yeah. So, I don't think it's some impregnable fortress. And if you want to talk about weaknesses, I still look at the Titans' corner group. You know, we just saw Molden. Chris Jackson goes in, gives up a touchdown. You know, Jenkins, I think, has played better late in the season, but had some rough moments the other day too. So it's not like you get three Pro Bowlers at corner either. I mean, you know, they can be taken advantage of, and I'm sure whoever they play will be looking at that.
Well, the passing game too. I mean, I know they just threw the ball really well on Sunday. You're talking about a passing attack that, outside of a couple exceptions, the last 8 or 9 weeks has been almost non-existent. So, you know, I think the line has something to do with that. You feel a lot better with the line playing better. Obviously, A.J. Brown coming back in, Julio Jones being productive. There's plenty of reason to be optimistic about it as you move forward here, but I mean, by no means right now am I willing to say, oh, yeah, I feel great about this passing attack for the Titans heading into the playoffs.
I agree. I think there's a lot that is kind of coming together there that is promising. Pass protection, like you said. Julio, like we've talked about. And I think Firkser is worth looking at now and saying, okay, he looks a little bit more like the guy we thought was going to be playing for the Titans this year. Is that
no more call your shot Friday Firkser touchdown picks?
Well, I may go back to it now, but I mean, he because I actually may be right now, but you know, maybe the knee with him, I don't know, but he just making plays now. Westbrook Akina to me, you know, obviously, I mean, early in the year he was just making the team and all this stuff, and I feel like lately he even has gotten to a little bit different level as a pass catcher. So I think there's a lot of reason to think that, you know, it can be better. It starts with, can Ryan Tannehill have a clean pocket? Because I feel like he's gotten that more lately, and that along with especially A.J. Brown has helped bring his confidence up.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Mayer from the NHL, looking ahead to the Stadium Series game coming up between the Predators and the Lightning. We'll get all the information you need to know about that game coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series contest between the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Saturday, February 26th. At Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, and welcome in Steve Mayer, who is the chief content officer for the National Hockey League. Steve, what's going on? Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, everybody, and happy to be on the show.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us. Obviously, you know, the Predators playing some good hockey right now. The Lightning and what they've done the last couple of weeks, or excuse me, a couple of years, speaks for itself with the success that they've had. How much are you looking forward to this contest coming up at Nissan Stadium between the Preds and the Lightning outdoors?
Listen, anytime we play an outdoor game, it's awesome. And the fact that we've got two of the best teams in the league going head-to-head, you know, Nashville got a taste to our game, but it was a road game in Dallas. There's nothing playing it. And for the Lightning, believe it or not, it's the Lightning's first ever outdoor game. So, you know, I think it's a great matchup. We at the league are looking forward to it. We're actually all in Nashville getting prepped for the game. We came in and we got a big crew here. A lot of work still to be done, but we're really looking forward to it.
That works, Steve. How? What about Nashville? You know, I guess makes it different, maybe from other places. Like, what are the unique challenges, benefits? Like, how do you view, you know, specifically what this game is going to be here?
Man, it's benefit plus benefit plus benefit. I mean, you know, just to do a game here, and if you watch our outdoor games, we really feed on the local environment, on the stadium, on the team. But in Nashville, you know, the creative possibilities are endless. And, you know, I think we want to celebrate Nashville, not only for the here who are at the stadium that night, but all around the world. This game's seen globally. And, you know, we've got a huge television. You know, our last game was our most watched ever regular season game, our Winter Classic. So we're trending in the right direction. And to celebrate Nashville, I think you're going to get more music than you've ever seen before at a hockey game, live music, which we're going to announce in the next couple of weeks. Some of the biggest performers in Nashville are coming out and, you know, all going to participate. So in the end of the day, this is going to be awesome. I just think we're really looking forward to this game because of all the possibilities based on where we're playing the game.
Steve, I went to the 2020 Winter Classic a couple of years ago between the Predators and the Stars at the Cotton Bowl, and it was so awesome, just an awesome experience. And I know a lot of people here in Nashville were at that game as well. For those who have never been to an outdoor hockey game at the NHL level, what do you think is the best part about it? What kind of separates that outdoor environment from your average NHL game at Bridgestone Arena or throughout the many great rinks that are in the league?
So I think it's an event, you know, that, you know, you can go arena and listen, that's a great experience. And we also say, you know, you come to a hockey game to see it live is like nothing else, you know, but our outdoor games become like spectacles. If you were in Dallas, you know, everywhere you looked, something was going on, whether it was that day pig racing or, you know, the way we bring the teams in, pyro, the fireworks. Remember, this game also at night, so the things we could do with fireworks and lighting and all the things that lead to, like, the experience at night. And then there's the music. You know, we had Dan and Shay in Dallas. We're going to have multiple performers here. You know, you got the music. You know, what we try to do is every minute of the experience, something's going on. So the whistle blows. Yeah, there's a TV timeout. But then we activate something that's on the field, everywhere on the field. And remember, you know, you won't see a blade of grass. I mean, that's a big football field, but we cover it all up. We design it appropriately for Nashville. And, you know, we're leaning on the look of Broadway, the look of Nashville, so that we're going to kind of take that from the streets to the field. So, yeah, I mean, if you've never been to one of these games, or if you've been to one that's on the road, change every single time. They look completely different. It's a pretty awesome experience.
So this is the 34th, I believe, regular season.
34.
And 20th stadium to do it. So in through that process, Steve, over that time, what have you all learned? What have you improved and streamlined during that process?
You know, it's interesting because one of my mantras to our team and part of my job is to sort of run our events team, which is the best by far in the business. But we say, like, all right, Let's make the next one better than the last one. So we're coming off a Winter Classic, which we deemed a success. It was cold. I think it'll be a little warmer here in Nashville that night. but, you know, we're always a few games, just how interactive we've become and how much other stuff other than the game we sort of activate and produce. We're always challenged, and we love the fact that we go from city to city, from stadium to stadium, because that sort of gets the blood going, gets the creative juices flowing, and, you know, that really promotes some cool ideas, and, you know, we just keep them coming. You know, we're preparing now, but we won't rest until February 26th, because we really do want to make the experience unique and something that somebody who comes to the game talks about for the rest of their lives.
Steve Mayer from the NHL on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Looking ahead to the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series game between the Predators and the Lightning outdoors at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, February 26th. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Steve, I know, and, you know, I've talked to Gary Bettman about this before as well. The term non-traditional market is something that I think both the Predators and the Lightning have embraced, but they've really become traditional markets in their own way. How cool is it to see, you know, two Southern teams in an environment like this coming up on February 26th, with obviously the success that both the Lightning and the Predators have had as franchises over the last few years?
So you said it. I mean, and we talked about it at the beginning. You know, these are two of the best teams in the NHL, no matter where they're from. The consistency for both Nashville, and such a credit to the job David Poile's done, Sean Henry's done, like to build this into one of the premier organizations in the league. Tampa, two Stanley Cups in a row. I think the most important thing for us is to go into these markets and get them and led that and bring hockey places that first, really? And then now, yeah, of course. And you're starting to see players from these markets get drafted. You know, Arizona and Matthews. There's a few kids that are coming from some of the southern markets in Texas this year in the draft. You know, this is exciting for the league. And it shows that, you know, hockey is not only a sport that was played in Canada and the East, but can be played all over the country. And the fan base here is just incredible. You know, when I remember being here for the Stanley Cup Final, and, you know, it was like no other experience. I mean, the fans that came out and who really knew their hockey. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, these are knowledgeable fans. So I think it's incredible to showcase what's happened in the expansion of the NHL. And, you know, two of these markets are perfect to play a game like this. And, you know, who would have ever thought that 3 years ago that we'd be talking about Nashville and Tampa Bay in an outdoor game?
So you said, Steve, you're announcing the musical artists, you said a few weeks here?
Yeah, I think in a few weeks, probably 1 month out in that range. Listen, this community loves their hockey. Talk about how many of these artists are true fans of the Nashville Predators, you know, and it's become, this is a lot easier to come to Nashville than it is most places, because you actually get phone calls saying, pick me, you know, and we've got such a big audience to pick from, you know, and that's why I think we want to go with multiple artists, you know, and again, so many of them are genuine Predator fans. We don't see that everywhere we go, I have to admit. So that's really cool. I do think there'll be quite the celebrity presence at this game. You know, this community really has gotten behind the team, and especially the musical community. It's cool to see. It makes our job a little easier. But yeah, we'll probably be announcing kind of the music and towards the end of the month.
I just want to point out that one John Oates of the wonderful band Hall & Oates lives in Nashville. I don't want to influence you there. I just want to throw that out there.
Wow!
Okay?
Wow!
There you go.
Look, you're also pitching. I got agents pitching, managers pitching, and now I go on a radio show. You got Yeah, well, listen, that's awesome. Well, I'll give you my phone number. You have them call me.
All right. I've also have the phone number of the Hall & Oates helpline, which you can always listen yes. to a Hall & Oates song at any point. So I can give you that one, too. Yes.
Yes. Joe's all about helping out the process here on the program. Well, Steve, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning. We are so much looking forward to this game coming up on February 26th. And thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, what a pleasure. You know, we're 6 weeks out, but we are pumped, and we're ready, and I think this is going to be one of the best games ever.
Yep, we're really looking forward to it. Steve Mayer from the NHL has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, the chief content officer, looking ahead to the Stadium Series game coming up on February 26th against the Tampa Bay Lightning here in Nashville. Going to be a fun one. Joe, I can tell you, if you've never been to an outdoor hockey game, it's pretty awesome. I would highly encourage you being there.
No, no question about it. No question about it. It is special. And, you know, I mean, actually, I'm looking through, in all seriousness, on this list of, you know, musical artists that that they've had at various events, you know, Green Day and Snoop and Lenny Kravitz. And, I mean, Carrie Underwood, it's on and on, the Killers. You know, their lineup is going to be ridiculous for this, too.
Well, Blink 182 action.
It's my first outdoor hockey game, guys.
I don't see Blink 182. And also, I forgot to tell him, please no Creed. Anyone, ABC, anyone but Creed. It's your first one,
Scott
Michelle?
Stapp, nice. We love you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. You seem like a nice guy.
Seem like a real nice guy. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Predators defenseman Matthias Ekholm coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. As well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We've got some tickets to give away to see WWE Friday Night SmackDown at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, January 21st. Be the third caller. Caller number three at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a pair of tickets to WWE Friday Night SmackDown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, January the 21st. Joe, I can picture you at a little WWE Friday Night SmackDown, just throwing things down, throwing beers back alongside Vengan. I bet he'll be there coming up on January 21st.
Oh, man, yeah, Vengan. The wrestling crew. It's really interesting. I guess it's like, it's an outlet, right? Like some people like reality shows, Michelle.
Yes.
And some people like wrestling, and some people
Joe.
Like neither. But I can't say, I mean, I love my 80s WWF, though.
Can never take that away from you.
That's right. Ted DiBiase, Million Dollar Man. I saw George Animal Steel at Battle Creek in 1987 at the Kellogg Center. It was badass. He was nice. That was a hairy. Talk about a huge dude with like the hairiest back I've ever seen in my life. But man, he and a former English teacher in Detroit, by the way.
Wow, what a combo!
You just never know where this is going to go.
We'll be joined by Matthias Ekholm coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Get into the Preds' big win last night against the Colorado Avalanche. Looking forward to that conversation with Ekholm coming up here in about 10 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David in Nolensville texting in, part of Rex Road's crew down there in Nolensville.
Let's go.
As a defensive coordinator facing the Titans in the playoffs, would you game plan for Henry, as in week six Henry with 8 or 9 guys in the box, or would you game plan around the passing game if Julio and AJ are both healthy? This coming from David in Nolensville. What do you think about that, Rex Road? Unfortunately for the Titans, that's not been something that teams have had to choose from too often this year. Looks like they will heading into the playoffs.
Well, we've talked about this, but first of all, every NFL defensive coordinator or college coordinator too, or high school coordinator too, will tell you, like, if they run the ball, we're in trouble, right? So even without Derrick Henry, the Titans, well documented, ran the ball effectively, had good rushing numbers. So that, I mean, I guess in a way that's sort of the benefit for whoever they play. They know coming in, they have to stop the run. I mean, they have to be focused on stopping the run. And based on what you've seen from the Titans this year, from the entirety of the passing game, which it's been overall underwhelming. I mean, I think that, you know, you also are, of course, game planning for individuals, and you got to be aware of AJ Brown. And to me, you got to devote more resources to him and your best resources to him, whoever you are. But you got to stop the run. And then you just got to hope that it's not like peak Derrick Henry, you know?
Yeah, because then you could try to stop the run, and it's probably not going to work. We found that out several times over the course of Derrick Henry's career. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texting in says, I'm excited for our linebacker rotation and Crookshank locking up any tight end. Do we think the Crookshank has elevated his status to, doesn't matter who you put out there, he's just going to lock him down?
He's had some good moments for sure. I mean, it's not like he's been perfect in that role, but he's had some good moments. I mean, what he did against Kelsey the first time around was pretty impressive. I mean,
yeah,
he was super physical with him off the line. You know, Kelsey, of course, is like, he's just a massive issue, and he's going to out-muscle safeties that cover him in man. He's going to outrun linebackers that cover him in man. And then against zone, which is what the Chiefs get a ton, he's just great at finding, you know, he's great at finding the seams at the openings, and Mahomes is great at finding them with him. And it's just, he's just a problem. That was really impressive. And a lot of it also is like the Titans were so in the backfield all day that anything they tried wasn't working. But still, that was a really interesting development to see Crookshank kind of, and that was, and since then I think he vaulted into that role. So that's going to be something to watch. Like if they play the Raiders, you know, I would imagine we'd probably see a lot of like Crookshank chasing Waller around that day.
Well, the thing, if I'm a Titans fan, that I'm most excited about on defense heading into the playoffs is that front four, because we've seen it a couple of different times this year. If that front four is at the top of their game, you know, Dupree, Autry, Simmons, Landry, I mean, they can single-handedly wreck a game. How often has that been the case with the Titans over the last few years, really at any point through their franchise? Not very often have the Titans been able to do that. So, you know, I thought they were okay on Sunday for a little while against Houston, and then weren't really much of a factor at all in the second half of that game. Like, to me, if Bud Dupree is at the top of his game, if Harold Landry gets healthier over these next couple of weeks, and he's back at full strength come the first matchup for the playoffs against the Titans, like, to me, those four guys and the level that we've seen them get to at times this year makes me feel way different about this team heading into the playoffs. Like, those four guys can single-handedly wreck a game.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, honestly, that's probably the as disappointing as anything from Sunday, is that, like you said, I mean, they just sort of, there weren't much of a factor in the second half of that game. We haven't seen that a ton. I think Harold Landry still ailing a little bit here down the stretch, and so the bye week, it's got to be huge for him. Because, yeah, when those guys have been all working in tandem and moving around different spots, you know, you've seen Landry come inside sometimes. Autry, of course, bounces back and forth. I mean, that's got to be – I mean, if they're going to get to the Super Bowl, I don't see how they get there if we're not talking about how great those guys were. Just like a year ago – well, I shouldn't say we were talking about it, because of course everybody's talking about, oh, Tommy, oh, but really it was that pass rush that was the difference for them. He was very good, but the pass rush put them over the top.
Anything you can do to take credit away from Tom Brady, you'll do it. It's unbelievable.
He's better than Marcus Mariota, okay? You and I can both agree. We can both agree on this.
He's
the GOAT.
What if he wins it this year and he doesn't have, you know, Antonio Brown out there, doesn't have Chris Godwin out there?
Goated.
He'll win it again, and this could be number eight.
Goated. Just imagine the, you know, what? How can they follow up on last year's near boating mishap, you know. Brady passing out after a couple shots of avocado tequila. I mean, who knows?
There was this nice video that came out the other day, I think from NFL Films. Apparently, Gronk needed like 7 catches heading into the final game to get a $1 million bonus. So he was at 6 in the game, and he walked up to Brady on the sideline and was like, yeah, I need one more. And Brady was like, one more catch? And Gronk was like, yeah, one more catch. So Brady's like, I got you. Like the next play, they go on the field. They run like this 2-yard out route, and Brady just peppers the ball right to him.
It's I love amazing. It. I
There's
love
$1 million for Gronk.
Hey, that's how it's supposed to work, man. You know, meanwhile, Antonio Brown had bonuses, you know, looking at him and didn't hit those. By the way, we haven't talked much about this. Antonio Brown says Tom Brady only liked me because I was a great football player. No kidding, man. Really?
Yeah.
Because everybody in this league is all just best friends forever if they didn't play football. What?
Just ridiculous stuff. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators defenseman Matthias Ekholm. We'll get into a wild game last night for the Predators against Colorado. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.